Welcome to the Chasing the Yield podcast. My name is Kevin Bay, and hopefully you can follow along with me on this ride as I get into investing for income and get out of my comfort zone of safety. Today's May 1st, 2021. This is episode number one of Chasing the Yield. And I'm just here to tell you a little bit about myself first and how I wound up at this point. So my name is Kevin Bay. I'm an amateur investment. I'm an amateur investor. That shows you how amateur I am. I can't even put those words together. Anyway, to tell you about myself, I am 54 years old. I retired a little early, you know, than most. I actually stopped working a couple years ago. And my original plan was to live off of savings and investments that I had put away. And, you know, I was planning it for a few years. So I built up a nest egg, my wife and I did. And, you know, we lived a fairly comfortable life, a good life. Nothing crazy out of the ordinary. We didn't really have anything crazy extravagant. And over our 30 plus years of marriage, you know, we didn't take a whole lot of vacations. You know, we didn't live in a giant house. We lived in, you know, sort of a normal house, a split level in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And, you know, in order to retire, the plan was to just sort of live modestly, reduce some of our fixed costs, and just kind of travel. We have a couple of grandkids now. We just had a recent one born this year, which at the time that we made our plans, we didn't know we were going to have two. We had one. And, you know, so the idea was to sort of remain free of encumbrances. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have enough of a nest egg built up where I thought that, you know, we would have been able to stop working full-time for the most part. You know, I always planned on going back to work part-time just to supplement income, plus maybe to keep busy, I don't know. but in my retired life, I did find that I had more than enough to do, at least for now. So anyway, my wife and I, our assets at the time of that decision consisted of an IRA, which held some stocks and index funds, a small brokerage account that was invested in some growth stocks. We had a few high interest savings accounts where we kept a good portion of our cash, and our house. Our house, you know, again, I repeat, it's not a giant house. It's a split level, or it was a split level. And you know, I have a couple of cars. I have a Jeep. It's a 2015, and I have a 2016 Mini Cooper that we use for driving around because it's great on gas. The Jeep I've had because I have a rather large dog, a Labrador Retriever, and he's not allowed in any car except for the Jeep. That Jeep is full of, I could make another dog out of his hair. Anyway, excuse me, all the throat clearing. Anyway, we had our house. if things would have stayed on a normal track, our savings accounts, you know, they're safe investments. They, you know, are insured by the FDIC, and they were getting, you know, 2.1% interest, something like that. And that wasn't bad. It was not great, but it was enough to provide enough income to where we would probably only have to have part-time jobs. And, you know, that interest plus the dividend income I was getting from my one brokerage account, which that one was getting at the time maybe about 3.5% yield on my investment. And then, you know, I do a little bit of outside consulting for some websites and stuff that I produce. And I host email and buy domain names for people. So I get a little bit of money from that. So with a conservative budget and the income from savings accounts and investments, a little bit of part-time income, and we wouldn't have to, you know, maybe work that hard, and we could have some free time to travel. But then, like with everybody else, COVID-19 hit, the pandemic hits, and shuts everything down. Not only that, but at the very beginning of it, interest rates were already starting to be cut. But then when COVID hit, interest rates went down to zippo, nothing. So suddenly, accounts where I'm getting, 2%, 2.1%, now I'm getting nothing, next to nothing. And it caused me to rejigger my entire plan all within 1 year. So instead of looking for a place to live or a place to move to reduce my costs over the next few years where I could take my time and kind of research places, I had a conversation with my wife that, you know, if moving away from Chicago was something that we were going to do, it was going to have to be now. We would have to pull the trigger on this in 2020. You know, I was afraid that, and I'm still a little bit fearful, that the U.S. economy, because it was up so high even before COVID, that we were due for another correction, a correction in the stock market, just a slowdown, maybe a recession of the economy. And I'm even more positive of it now because of COVID and all the shutdowns, and somehow where we seem to be artificially held at a high point. Everybody seems to be very confident that nothing bad is going to happen. And we should all know by now that economic trajectory never continues straight up. It will eventually come down in some form or fashion. So we hit that point and we decided, okay, let's look around and see what we can do. So in the spring of 2020, I started researching places to move. I had already started that research prior, but now I've kind of stepped it up and I narrowed it down to the North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham area, and the Atlanta, Georgia area. And the reason is that the cost of living was relatively similar in both places. The properties I was looking at, the property taxes are one-third of what I was paying in the northern suburbs of Chicago. That was hugely important. That eliminates a big chunk of our fixed costs. And during COVID, after everything got shut down, airline travel was gone. Airlines started pulling back out of smaller airports. So then I figured out that maybe moving to a smaller town, a smaller area like Raleigh-Durham wouldn't be the best idea because the airport is not one of the major airports in the United States. So Atlanta became an even more attractive site. The Atlanta-Hartsfield Airport is, trades back and forth with Chicago as the busiest airport in the country, sometimes in the world. And so I figured if the airlines are cutting back to smaller airports from flying back and forth to any location, Delta Airlines being this being their major hub in Atlanta would be less likely to cut back any routes from their headquarters. So Atlanta became the go-to site. So we started looking for properties, and we found one. And back in July, we made an offer, and we actually got accepted, and we closed on the house late July 2020. So that step was taken, and we put our house, we did our move, and we put our house on the market late last fall. So in the span of just that, of the 6 months from the time that COVID hit, like in March, through September, I ended up changing my entire investment strategy. I ended up purchasing a home in the Atlanta, Georgia area, moving all of my savings out of the safe FDIC insured accounts and moved them into another brokerage account, rebalanced my IRA to be slightly more aggressive than it was before, and then start down this path of jumping in with both feet with a good majority of my assets into income investing. So as for our fixed costs, moving here to Georgia, that move should pay for itself in a couple of years with just the savings on property taxes alone. And, you know, the lower cost of living, the price of gasoline, you know, and plus now we don't drive as much since we're not going to work all the time. And we will profit, or we have profited a little bit off of our house in the Chicago area. The house that we moved out of is about 33%, has about 33% more value than the house that we bought in Georgia. The funny thing is, too, and we moved to Georgia, I moved and bought a slightly larger house. I have a slightly larger piece of land, but the house itself is 33% less, and the property taxes are 66% less. So it was a huge saving moving out of the Chicago area. And how did I get started in income investing? Well, I read about dividend yield theory a while back before all of this was happening, and I was playing around with some portfolios for maybe a year or so. And I didn't, you know, expect that I'd be in this position so quickly, so I had to kind of step up my research and decide what kind of risks I was willing to take. And it's a little scary. It's more risky, obviously. You switch from savings, which is FDIC insured, to stock portfolios in which anything you put in there is at risk. But the idea behind dividend yield theory is that the companies you invest with you're not looking for growth companies necessarily. So I'm not investing in Amazon and Facebook and Google and, other high-flying tech companies that you're trying to get. You're basically gambling on whether or not the price of that stock will continue to go up. Instead, what I'm looking for are solid, boring companies where they have good, solid revenue, maybe increasing revenue. You know, maybe they're just a solid old company that just keeps producing whatever widgets or whatever a company, you know, whatever thing that it is that they do it well, and it's boring. So the stock doesn't travel up and down much. But what they do is they pay their investors a percentage of their profits in dividends. And when you watch the market crash, watching your stocks go down in value can be scary. But and this is true of what happened in 2020. Is that when the stock market crashed big, the value of my portfolio, stock-wise, of course, went into the toilet. But the companies that I was invested in did not stop paying dividends. As a matter of fact, every single company that I was invested in at the time didn't even cut their dividends, even though revenue was down and everybody was predicting the worst of all worlds. So that gave me a little bit more confidence. So, that kind of solidified where I was headed. That, yes, even though the value of my portfolio went down, and if I had to sell it at that time, we would have lost a lot of money. But that's not what I was investing for. I was investing for the monthly income. And that continued throughout the stock market crash and continued throughout the entire cycle as the market continued to recover. Now we're way beyond recovery point, obviously, and that's why I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop, where, you know, I believe that the stock market will have some kind of correction at some point. It has to. So hopefully I'm positioned well enough with my portfolios to weather that storm. So that's all I really wanted to cover at this first episode is who I am, what I've done, how I ended up here. I'm sure there's a lot more questions to ask about the different things that I'm doing and how I picked what I picked. What I will do is I will get into each individual portfolio because what I do have is I have in securities, I have three basic buckets of stocks. I have three different accounts and they're positioned in three different ways. And I've already blogged that those portfolios are up on the blog, chasingtheyield.com. And I will get into each one of those portfolios more in detail in later episodes. But for now, that's it. This is where I am now. And hopefully I can continue to grow this and keep this podcast going and not lose my shirt in all of this. And if there's anything that you like from the coverage of my blog or this podcast as it goes along, please let me know. If you have any questions about what I've done or you have any ideas or want to let me know what you have done, please drop me a line at mail@chasingtheyield.com and I'll do my best to answer your questions. But for now, that is it, and I hope to see you next time.